Let's move, please, back to Matthew 8 and to this first incident of the leper coming to the Lord. He's no longer in the mountain. He's no sooner at the foot of the mountain until the greatest trial of the Savior's words that he preached on the mountaintop. Remember how he started that sermon. Blessed are the meek. Blessed are they that mourn. Blessed are the hungry and the thirsty for righteousness. And he had no sooner preached that message, comes to the bottom of the mountain, and here is, whichever way you look at it, the worst case scenario or the best case scenario, the greatest possible challenge to will the Lord actually live out what he preaches. There's an old Indian saying that you never know what a person goes through until you walk in their shoes. And we, of course, will never know the compassion of the Lord Jesus until we try walking in his shoe. To the Jew, to the Israelite, faced with leprosy, there was an immediate barrier, an immediate reluctance to get involved, a shying away from anything that would bring you into contact with a leper's footsteps, never mind the person in his disease. And here now is the Lord Jesus, the Son of God, come to preach the gospel, who professes his love for sinners, who tells of a heart for the meek and the needy. And here comes this diseased leper, a castaway of Jewish society, no longer allowed to enter in the city gate, no longer allowed to enter in amongst his own family. He is a vagabond. He is a castaway. And he comes to the Lord Jesus with the crowd on the Savior's heels. This is no secret moment. This is a very public affair. And the poor leper, in his disease and in his tormented state, he speaks out, "Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean." And that congregation to whom he had just been preaching those many glorious things and telling them of the Father's love and the reason why he had come into the world, every eye is now on the Lord Jesus, and every ear is cocked to hear his response and reply to this leper. Could it possibly be that our Lord Jesus will be like the scribes and the Pharisees and the other religious leaders and just sweep this man aside and say, "Can do nothing for you"? This was an immediate and a great test. Don't you agree? Don't you see that just what the Lord had testified of, now he has to display? And I warn you, as I said in that short comment and reading, let me tell you, the moment you open your mouth for the Lord, the moment you begin to tell of the Savior's grace in your life, there'll come a test. It might be some reversal, some disappointment, some bitter thing. And you've just testified of Jesus' love for you. And now through that bitter, difficult reversal, ill health, financial, some enemy that has arisen, whatever it might be, and you are now forced not just to say in words that Jesus loves you, but live it, and live the profession of the gospel before a world that's looking on, and every eye is on you to see what you're going to do now. Oh, you've professed in the good times that you're enjoying the love of God, but now the clouds have gathered, and the dark, deep, bitter things of life have come upon you, and you're sort of like a friend of Job in the dust, and the wonder is, will you curse God? Or will you say, "My Lord is with me. I once knew God with the hearing of the ear, but now I see him with the eye." God became more real to Job in his affliction than ever before. And of course, that's the great testimony of the Christian in trial, that it was then that I really proved that the Lord was truly with me. And so here is the defining moment. If our Lord Jesus would really live up to what he preached. This really was our Lord's finest hour. And the reply that he gave to this leper really answers a tremendous, tremendous issue. And we look into the heart of a Savior and his compassion. A compassion not just for the clean. A compassion not just for the best and the elite and the successful of society. Oh, it's easy to mingle with them. It's easy to form a club of the best and the rosiest. But what's he going to do with a leper? What's he going to do with one at the very end of the rope and the bottom scale of the scale of society? And what does he do to this leper? Jesus comes to him and he touches him and he says, I will.
I will.
And here, in this great test, our Savior displays in a very dramatic and powerful way the mighty love and the depths of the compassion that is in the heart of the Lord Jesus. What is compassion? It's a very easy thing for us as we see one another once a week or twice a week in church life and say, I love you, brother. I'm thinking about you, sister. But what is this compassion that the Lord Jesus has? We have many ways, of course, of searching it out. If you turn over to Matthew 9 and verse 36, you'll notice the word compassion. Right there, when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion. And so this was not merely the Lord Jesus in a tight corner as he came down the mount with a multitude following him, and this leper jumps out of the sidelines of his pathway and faces him with a public display. Oh yes, I have a concern for you. What I want to set before you today really is this is our Lord Jesus through and through. This is his true nature. This is his true ministry. This is his heartbeat. The word compassion in Matthew 9:36. In Old English, speaks of bowels of mercies. And it's that, you know, that gut feeling. And you know, when you get good news, you're elated. There's a happy feeling in your tummy. And when you get bad news, it makes you feel sick. And so Old English uses the feeling language of human response to good and bad news. If you heard of someone that you really love was ill or in danger, you would have that feeling, that compassion. You would have that gut-wrenching feeling, that real caring that goes to your stomach. And of course, if you fall in love and you find the person that really thrills you, let me tell you, there will be those butterflies. There will be those butterflies, and they won't go away. There'll be a compassion. There'll be a real deep caring. Now that only in a finite little way begins to describe the compassion of the Lord Jesus. And here in this incident of our Lord dealing with this leper, which was, as I say, the finest hour of our Lord showing his true compassion, we see a lot, we learn a lot about the nature, the very heart of our Lord Jesus. Let's look at this then. Let's look at this way in which our Lord deals with this leper. You'll notice here that his compassion was without hesitation. No hesitation. Between verse 2 and the response of verse 3, all there is a conjunction word, and. Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And Jesus put forth his hand. No hesitation whatsoever. Now let me tell you, to a scribe or any other Jew who understood the connotation of touching a leper according to the Old Testament law and all their traditions, they would have said, hey, I'm not going to do this. And there would be a reluctance and a hesitancy at least. But our Lord Jesus automatically opened up and touched this man, this leper that was filled with disease. Now, of course, our Lord Jesus had no concern about contracting the disease, because you know that our Lord Jesus, being the God-man, perfect human nature, could not contract a disease as leprosy, because there was no corruption in the body of the Lord Jesus. Diseases are a mark of Adamic nature, lust and corruption in our bodies. But our Lord Jesus had a perfect body, a body that would not contract this disease. Now, I can see you and really thinking here on this one. Does that mean that the cells in the body of the Lord Jesus are different from normal cells in the human body? And we'll probably talk that one out over lunch today. I don't have all those answers, mind you. I don't have all those answers. All I can say is this: you'll never read of the Lord Jesus being sick. You never hear of the Lord Jesus being ill. You never hear Him saying to His disciples, "Oh, I can't go today, I've got a heavy flu or cold." Not a day of sickness when you have a perfect body. And of course, our Lord had no concern that if He touched this leper, that He would in some way find that He would contract the leprosy onto His body as well. That was not a concern. And also, the Old Testament civil law, while it forbade a leper to touch a clean person, there was no law saying that a clean person couldn't touch a leper. The leper was cast out. He was not allowed in to mingle with society, but a person could go and minister to them, bind up their sores and their wounds. However, they would, according to that day, a certain uncleanness to be washed and ceremonials and all the rest of it that they would have. But our Lord Jesus, let's face it, and let's think it through now. What did Jesus say to him? "I will, be thou clean." And it tells us immediately the leprosy was gone. Now you answer this one. Was the man clean when Jesus touched him, or did he become clean because the Lord touched him? I don't know. But the Lord had no concern in touching this leper and healing him and making him well. The lesson is the readiness of our Lord. No hesitation at all in touching this leper. What a wonderful truth. What a wonderful fact of our wonderful Lord Jesus, that He has no hesitation in dealing with the most sinful, wicked person. Leprosy is a type of sin, is a picture of the corruption of sin in the human heart. And we may think of the person who is most defiled and guilty of the wickedest sin. Is the Lord Jesus hesitant? Is He reluctant to enter into the vile person's life and touch him and heal him and give him the power that he needs? Not a hesitation. Not a hesitation. In Hebrews, when this is put into doctrinal terms, the Lord Jesus is referred to as the one who succors us in any time of need. And that word succor, it simply means to run to our help for at a cry. As soon as we cry, He runs to our aid. No hesitation, no reluctance, no holding back, no time frame, immediately. What a compassion is in the heart of the Lord Jesus. What a view this is of the nature of our Lord Jesus. This is not just history. This is not just doctrine. This is looking right into the heart of the Son of God. This is the love that He has for you and me. And even while we were in our sins, our Lord Jesus loved us. He loved us. And there was a time when He touched us and changed us and made us new. What a ready helper, what a ready Savior He is to all that are in need. Now, not only does He come to help, or is He willing, but the fact is that He's able. No lack of power here at all. No lack of power. Our Lord has a history of never turning down a plea for mercy. Never, ever turning down a plea for mercy. Think of blind Bartimaeus on the roadside, sitting in his filth, his begging position. And as the crowd gathered around, they said to him, "Oh, you be quiet. Who wants to hear you?" But the Lord heard him, and the Lord invited him, in fact, commanded that he be brought to him, and he was healed of his blindness. I think of the woman who, with their little children, very young children in their arms, and as mothers no doubt would have loved for the Lord Jesus just to touch their children, the disciples said, "Hey, come on, we can't have our Lord Jesus slowed up by all this rabble of mothers and little crying children in their arms. He has no time for infants." But our Lord Jesus said, "Suffer them. Allow them come unto me." And he took those little children into his arms and blessed them. Our Lord's compassion is without question. And where others refuse, and where even religious organizations would bar, our Lord Jesus says, "Suffer them, come on, and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God." Another little note, if you look at Matthew 8 and the verse 16, I'm really backing up that statement that our Lord Jesus never turned down a plea for help and a plea for mercy. Matthew 8:16, "And when the even was come, they brought unto him many that were possessed with devils, and he cast out the spirits with his word, and he healed all that were sick." All that were sick. And then in Luke 6, verse 19, another incident, another time, when our Lord again never refused. Luke 16, verse 19. And it says, "The whole multitude sought to touch him, for there went virtue out of him, and healed them all. Those are tough shoes to walk in. The compassion of the Lord Jesus puts every one of us here to shame. And there are times when we've been hard-hearted, and we have thumbed our nose at the needy, and we have been reluctant to enter into the needs and the cares of people. But let me tell you, there's no reluctance with the Lord Jesus. He is one who is filled with real compassion. Not just empty words. Not just, "Oh, I love you, brother." Not just that. But he's the one that succors us, runs to our aid at our first cry. He's the one that breaks through convention and ceremony and breaks down even those trappings of church order that say that a sinner can't come to Jesus. The Lord's heart goes out where man's rules and regulations may drive them away. And I assure you today that he'll never turn you away. He'll never turn you away. There's never been one that came to Jesus that was turned away when they cried for mercy and cried for help. And there may be in your heart today some fear, "Oh, the Lord's not interested in me. Think of all the sin that I have. Think of the mess of my life. Think of all the corruption that I have." Well, look at this poor leper. What an example. What an illustration of the unceasing, unfailing compassion in the heart of the one who had just preached, "Blessed are the meek, blessed are the pure in heart, blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled." And here comes this leper, steps right into the pathway of Jesus. And what does he do? Touches him, and he says, "I will, be thou clean." That's a great, great demonstration of power. You see, the works of the Lord Jesus, every time they back up his words. That's the mighty, mighty thing about the Son of God. He performed miracles to back up his message. And he laid the foundation on which the church of Jesus Christ is built. Now you can stand on that foundation, I assure you. You can stand on that foundation. This proves without a doubt that our Lord Jesus is not a Savior in mere empty words, but in demonstration and in power, that you might come to him. That's why this is here for us. That you might come to him. That you might avail yourselves of that very compassion that beats in the heart of the Lord Jesus for all that cry out. Will you cry out now in your need? Will you cry out now in the mess of your life, which in many ways may just be like leprosy? The sin of your life, the folly of your life, the bitterness of your life. I'm sure there were many lepers went around with a bitter spirit. And I'm sure this leper too complained about the hardship of being taken from his home and family and cast out of the city as a vagabond to make or break in the wilderness. But here he found one whose heart was full of grace. I will be thou clean. Then the Lord's compassion was without questioning, without hesitation, and also without any questioning. Now I like this physician because he asks no question like, where did you get this leprosy? He didn't start a whole inquisition, an inquiry into the background of it all. The Lord knows where our sin came from. He knows the nature that is within us. He knows that we are children of Adam and our parents got it from him and we got it from our parents, and the corruption of our heart, the heart of man is deceitful and desperately wicked. Who can know it? The Lord knows all of these things. Some people are great for diagnosing and spending all their time in the disease lab. When it comes to offering the medicine, they don't want to give it. Oh, we need to diagnose the problem a little deeper. We need to discover where the sin came from and how it developed and who did you contract it from. How long has it been raging in your body and why here and not there? And they look at the poor man and he's a mess from head to toe and they ask, what about this sin? Rather than offering the wonderful remedy of the gospel, what about the Christ that can heal me from my sin? And people get put off. Will it go away by itself if we just leave it a while? That's a question that many people ask. Maybe if we just leave this man, he hasn't got the leprosy all that long, just a year or so. He's sort of a new leper. So let's not worry. It might just clean itself up. We'll leave him. And there's many people that way. You don't need to get too radical about being born again and becoming an out-and-out Christian. You're a church person. You've been born into a Christian country and home. And yes, obviously you've fallen into sin and you've got a bit of black here and a bruise there and there's a disease that has crept up on you. But, another while it might just clear up. No, the Lord didn't start into that either. He didn't start into that. Nor did he say to them, do you belong to the club? Are you one of, the special group that we can treat you? Do you have a medical plan? Are you one that's looked upon as worthy of treatment? He was a stranger, and all this poor leper knew was that his hope was in the mercy of the Lord Jesus. My friend, do not bother yourself about being in some elite club, some upper crust of society, some better society that you can justify that the Lord Jesus would be interested in you. There is a group of people, and sometimes more in the Reformed tradition than others, who get all worked up about, am I one of God's elect? And if I'm not one of God's elect, there's no point in me going to the Lord Jesus because he wouldn't have me. And they begin to search the rules of God's elect. And they try to look for some signs or some evidence that maybe I am one of God's elect. And thereby, I am one for whom Jesus came and for whom Jesus died. And therefore, he will have me. And they go through this soul-destroying searching for evidence of being one of God's elect in advance of being a Christian. Now that, let me tell you, is the most twisted, perverted, back-to-front thinking that any leper sinner could get into. Because the secret counsels of God as to whom he has elected and chosen to eternal life, that's God's business. God knows them that are his. But your business, you're commanded to repent. You're commanded to seek the Lord. You're commanded to cry out for mercy. And you're assured every time that when you cry for mercy, that you'll never be turned away. Never be turned away. So you don't have to prove that you're in a special category or you're one of God's elect from all eternity. That's the business of God. And your business as a sinful soul is to grieve over the plague of your own sin so that you cry out for help and you cry out for mercy. And like this leper, say to the Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. Here's the issue. And there's no other question to be asked. No other question. And there's only one answer to it. Jesus says, I will. I will. Now, if I'm a preacher of the gospel, and if this Bible is the Word of God, and I'm an ambassador of the Lord Jesus who came down from the Sermon on the Mount that day that healed this leper, and you come to me and say, preacher, can I get saved today? Can I have my sins washed away today? Does your Jesus wash away sins the moment that we call upon Him? The only answer I can give is, without a doubt. Without a doubt. No questions asked. No questions asked at all as to what race you're of, as to how long you've been in sin, where you got your sin, have you tried to clean up your sin, do you grieve over your sin? No questions asked. You come. And Jesus says, I will be thou clean. That's the free offer of the gospel. And any gospel preacher that can't make the free offer of the gospel ought not to be a preacher and ought not to be in a pulpit. The Jesus that I represent is the one that saved a leper the moment that he cried out. And he'll do it for you, my friend. He'll do it for you. Do you feel your need today? Do you know that you're a leper in God's sight, that sin has corrupted you from head to toe, that you're a dying creature under a plague of sin that will one day take you to hell? Do you feel the burden of it? Let me tell you, there's only one thing to do, is go to Jesus like this leper did. And Jesus will say, I will. Every time. Perhaps you're the one that's questioning. You're the one that's doubting. You're the one that's reluctant. But never charge the Lord Jesus with any reluctance to save you from your sin, your spiritual leprosy. Never charge Him, because He will take you in. All that Jesus said it, John 6:37, all that come to me, I will in no wise cast out. Then also, the Lord's compassion was without weakness. Weakness. I want you to see too that this was a great statement of faith that the leper made. He said, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. There was no thought at all of any weakness in the Lord Jesus. He did not say to the Lord, now Lord, if you're having a good day and you had a good long rest, perhaps you'll have the strength to heal me. No, there was no question in it at all. He said, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. Now put these two things together. The willingness of the Lord and the almighty divine power of the Lord. Put those two things together in the one Savior, the Lord Jesus, and what a mighty loving Savior we have. He is willing and He is able to save to the uttermost all that come unto God by Him. So many earthly physicians, when they have a patient with such a disease, they are very willing, and they have the best will in the world to see their patient made well. And they have been to the best medical schools for 10, 15 years to find the best treatment for certain diseases. They depend on the drugs from the best lab technicians and scientists that they may see their patient made well. But with all their skill and with all their knowledge and with all their use of drugs, what do they see? They see their patient, after the torment of their treatments, suffer and agonize and weaken. And like sand running through their fingers, poor earthly physicians and doctors can do nothing to heal their patient. They've got the best will and their mind is tormented. Perhaps they are so wrapped up in the whole case of their patient and the suffering they're going through that it's a great toll, it's a great agony to the mind of the doctor. He's got a longing and a yearning that he must see this patient well. But he hasn't got the power to do it. He hasn't got the power. With our Lord Jesus, you never have that scenario. You never have one who says he's willing without the power. There's no weakness whatsoever. No lack of power to perform. And our Lord, when it comes to curing sin, we have pictured here in the healing of this leper, the most caring Savior and the most powerful Savior in one. He does not say, well, I'll try. It's always worth a try. Let's just go and see what works. There's no experimenting. There's no probability of statistics that 80% of patients are cured and 20% are not. Or that in certain cultures, people with this malady, well, we have a success rate of this or that. No, our Lord goes immediately and he heals this man. And the experiment really is that thousands and millions have already been healed. That's the experiment. If you want an experiment, if you want to know what the statistics are, let me tell you, they're great. The record of the Son of God in saving sinners is A1. He saves, and he keeps, and he glorifies. And he'll bring you to, and he'll add you to that innumerable multitude in glory, the thousands and the millions already saved by the blood of the Lamb. What a powerful Savior we therefore have. Now, a last thought before we wrap it up. The Lord's compassion was without contradiction to the law. You'll notice the instruction the Lord gave to this leper. He said to him, go to the priest. Go to the priest, offer, show thyself to the priest, and offer the gift that Moses commanded for a testimony unto them. Now remember what I said last week, that our Lord did not come to abolish the law. Think not that I am come to destroy the law. And here is the Lord Jesus exercising this power, this authority, this healing power for this leper, and he does it without contradiction to the law. He sends him to the priest. He sends him to do whatever the law requires. He's not doing it in contradiction or defiance of any law. He does not oppose that convention. And the point here is that when our Lord Jesus makes us clean, we're open for inspection to any man or to any would-be inspector. There was nothing wrong with this leper from this day on. He had a public testimony, but he also had a legal testimony that he was made clean. And the atoning work of the Lord Jesus, the cross work of our Lord Jesus, the work of redemption that he puts into his believing people is such a work that it is not against law, it is not contrary to law, but it satisfies the law. And the law looks at the case and says, yes, this man has been made free from the disease. And there is no longer an accusation. There is no longer condemnation. Totally set free. Before God, sinners are made clean. Before man, sinners are made clean. Before conscience, sinners are made clean. And of course, before men, this leper was greatly changed. What a testimony to the great power of the Lord Jesus. There's no greater power to the gospel, of course, than changed lives. The fact that you haven't gone to the pub this week is a great proof that you're a child of God. Well, it goes a long way. There may be people that don't go to a pub that are not Christians. But those who for 30 years of their lives live for the world and sell their bodies to the devil, and then they're changed. Like this leper was changed. What a testimony that Jesus really saves. And those things that you once loved, you now hate. And the things of the gospel that you once hated, you now love. You're changed. Not against law. It is proof that you truly are a child of God. And one day before the judgment seat, when you are brought before God in that Bema seat in glory, and you are to be judged with the books open, how will it fare with you, a leper, a sinner, defiled with all the wickedness of this world? How shall you answer on that great day? All you have to answer, I'm trusting in Jesus. He is my righteousness. He's my only plea. And as your advocate, our Lord Jesus will step forward and say, yes, there was an hour when this man, this woman, or young person called on my name, and I washed away all his or her sins. They're gone. And I gave to this person my righteousness, all the works that I lived for, all the goodness that I performed from the manger to the cross. I weaved a garment and I've given to this person. There is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. You're saved. No contradiction to the law of God, whether it's the law of man, the law of God in heaven. And the courtroom of heaven will cry out, cleared of all charges, justified freely from all things. No sin found in this man's account. Open the doors and let him in. Hallelujah. That'll be a happy day. A happy day. And this leper, he was shut out of the society, you see, and he couldn't get into the city. And when he went to the priest, and the priest looked him over and said, my, it's all gone. Then he could go, he could probably get a permit or bring the priest with him if he needed and knock at the gate and say, hey boys, I'm clean, let me in. And they'd be like, is that you, the old leper that we've been dealing with for so long and keeping you out of the city? This is me, but I'm clean. I've been made clean. What a joyful day that must have been as he went through those gates and he went back to his home and family, back into society. He isn't a leper anymore. He was clean. Oh, what a wonderful reunion in glory for sinners who were defiled with this sin of this world, and heaven's door is opened. Will the angels object? Will the angels say, hey, we can't allow this fellow in here? We wear pure white. These are the angels that cover with their wings, they cover their faces to behold, lest they behold the glory of the Father. How can these leper sinners get in here and worship with us? These angels will be told, but they're dressed in the pure white righteousness of the Lord Jesus, from head to toe, cleanness, no unsoundness whatsoever. Shall God the Father object? Will he look down and say, I can't allow these people in here? Jesus, he loves them, but can I allow them in here? Legally. And here's where the law becomes the friend of the Christian. Legally, if God the Father punished your sins in Jesus' body on the cross, and God as a righteous judge allowed those sins to be punished in His Son, God cannot payment twice demand. He cannot now again ask for repayment. They've already been paid. And a holy, just God cannot sentence twice demand. Will Abraham object? The patriarchs, who in the Old Testament were saved by covenants, by blood sacrifice, and of whom we are told that Abraham was justified by faith, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Will Abraham say, these are New Testament sinners? I'm not going to allow them to dwell with me in heaven. No, every New Testament believer is a son of Abraham, justified by faith, justified the same way, redeemed by the same blood that Abraham was redeemed by, because Abraham rejoiced in Christ's day. Are there any other objections that we might anticipate? We've silenced the law, we've silenced the angels, we've silenced the patriarchs, we have silenced any legal law of God. No, my friend, there is no objection to you coming to Christ. The only objection is in your own imagination. The only objection to you being a child of God, it is an objection of your own making. It's your own sin-loving nature that begs you stay with this world and cleave to its sin. Why is it that people will not turn to Christ? It's because they love their sinful state more than to be in fellowship with God. Because there is no barrier between you and God now that Christ has come. There's a way opened up. It's a wide way. It's a free way. And you are invited. And you will be received. The world will say, of course, just remain a leper. There's that Jesus coming down the mountain. You know, he's a legalist. He was up on that mountain making laws. That was sort of like another Sinai, a lawmaker. Don't you go to him, he'll never receive you. Oh, the whispering devil would put that in his ear. The scribes and the Pharisees would say, who would have anything to do with a leper? But this needy man called on the Lord and was wonderfully healed. No objections. No contradictions. No opposition. No man in hell will ever say, Jesus would not have me. Jesus would not take me. I'm here because I wanted to be a Christian. But the Lord would not have me. Away with all these false arguments and all these petty reasons for staying a leper in your sin. I don't care if you're a Calvinist or an Arminian or a dispensationalist or a Muslim or a Hindu or a Jew or a Protestant or a Catholic. All these objections are man-made. Jesus came into the world, the Son of God, and he saves all that come unto God by or through him. Jesus said, I am the way to the Father. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. We know there's only one way to come. But all that come are wonderfully received. That's the message. That's the message. And if that's not your theology, we've got the wrong theology. If I'm not representing the real Jesus of the Bible, oh, what kind of a gospel might you preach? Oh, believe today. Jesus will have you. In fact, on the judgment day, if you stay a leper, they will say, there was a day that I walked right by you and you wouldn't call. I walked right by you. I was there. And all you did was back off and shy away and resist and reject any thought of coming to plead my mercy. And one day there will be a judgment of your soul. And you've rejected the Lord Jesus already for a long time, perhaps. And you have resisted and you've used all these objections. And they're all foolish and there's no foundation to them. They're only in your own imagination. And one day you'll be judged as one who refused the compassion, the real, genuine, deep-seated love of Jesus. And you would not call on him. Ye have not, because ye ask not. That's the condemnation of a sinner in hell, and especially one like you that has heard the gospel so many times, and you walk away from it and you run from it. May you call today. I plead with you to go to Christ. He will save you.